I've seen that video, I don't know how many times, always makes me tear up watching them. And Brian's become a friend, his family's become a friend to me, and his wife Kim and his son Gunnar are just incredibly special people. And you know, they're part of our Vandalia campus, and it's so exciting. And I'm going to do a little soapbox thing here, so I probably wasn't going to do this, but a little soapbox thing here. We talk a lot about saying we want to start more multi-sites, we want to add more campuses, we want to get into other communities. And if you ever want to know why we want to do that, that's why. Because a life was changed, a family was impacted, an eternity was altered, and that's why we want to keep growing. That's why we want to keep adding locations and keep doing things like that, because that's what we're all about as a church. Seeing lives transformed. It's good stuff. So you guys doing all right this weekend? Another incredible, incredible weekend around here. And Vandalia, I hope you guys are having a great, great Sunday morning in Vandalia. I'll see you guys next week. But today we're going to be wrapping up our series called Adventures in Saying Yes. And while we're kind of wrapping up the series to this, this is not the end of the Adventures in Saying Yes. It's our theme for the year, so we'll be talking about it throughout the year as we celebrate our 25 years here at Metro. But this has been the series that we've kicked the year off with. And Pastor Paul, our senior pastor, has given some just phenomenal messages regarding the Adventures in Saying Yes, kind of talking about stepping out in faith and living the life God's designed for you to live, about trusting God. We had just a ridiculously phenomenal weekend, one weekend with baptisms. We had 24 people baptized between our two campuses, and we're still seeing the ripple effect of that with more and more and more people being baptized. It's a really, really cool thing. And then last week, actually, Pastor Paul pulled out the old algebra, and if you hate math, too bad. It was a really good message. It was good stuff. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch it online or listen to the message. But today, as we wrap it up, this Adventures in Saying Yes, I want to talk about this idea of growing up. And to get where I want to go, I want to start off by just getting our minds thinking that direction and ask you guys the question and just think about this for a second. It's like, can you think of anybody in your life? And you may say, yeah, Todd, that's me. Can you think of anybody in your life that's just never really grown up? Yeah, you got somebody in your mind, don't you, right now? It's like they've never graduated from the 13th grade. They're just stuck, you know? They're still in the world of mullets and Bon Jovi slippery when wet t-shirts. You know what I'm talking about? The MC Hammer pants. You know, you guys remember that? If you're a millennial, ask your parents. They'll tell you what this is all about. And I can make fun of this. I can talk about this thing because that was me. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to kind of ridicule myself here a little bit. Here, check this out. I was a junior in high school. Yeah, laugh now. You've got this skeleton in your closet, too. But that's the best I could do for a mullet. My hair just gets curly when it gets long, so that's the best I can do. I had the old, you know, colored sunglasses or colored glasses there, and I had to crop out the other person to protect the innocent. But that was me in as a junior in high school, and we all have that. And take that thing down. Get that off the screen. Thank you. But can you think of anybody that's just kind of living still in that? And maybe it's not that they still dress that way or act that way, but like mentally, they're still just kind of living in the Friday night lights because they've never grown up. They're still living in the old football stories and the old basketball stories. They've just never really grown up. You guys know people like that I'm talking about? You know, the thing is, when it comes to growing up, we all know what it looks like to grow up physically, don't we? I mean, obviously, either we've all experienced or we're in the process of experience. I mean, one of my memories of growing up and kind of the physical aspects of growing up is, man, I just remember during some of those growth spurts having those incredible leg aches. Did you guys have that? I mean, those wake you up in the middle of the night, like, holy cow, my legs hurt. I mean, I just remember that very, very clearly. So a lot of us experienced that. You know, almost all of us experienced the pimples. We experienced the zits. You know, a lot of us, you know, the men especially, you know, we started getting the deeper voice. You know, our voice started changing and the froggy voice we deal with. You know, around the fifth or sixth grade, all of us started to experience and realize that our bodies started creating wonderful new odors. Actually, we never realized that our parents had to tell us that our bodies were creating, and we got introduced to deodorant. And if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, just attend our fifth and sixth grade Adventureland classroom, and you'll know what I'm talking about. We need deodorant dispensers in that classroom in a desperate way. But we all know what it's like to grow up. We all know what it's like to be part of growing up and experiencing that in our lives. You know, and while we may know people that are kind of stuck growing up and they've never really kind of gotten out of that, we've all experienced all that, and we know what it looks like to grow up physically. But when it comes to life, there's a whole other component of life, a whole other side of life, outside of the physical growing up. There's a whole other side of life that when we talk about what's it look like to grow up, it can be a little more nebulous. The reality is it can be a little more cloudy. It can be a little less clear on what it really looks like to grow up. And what I'm talking about is this. What's it really mean to grow up spiritually?
You ever thought about that?
I mean, what's it really mean to become spiritually mature, to grow up in our spiritual lives? Now, this may not need to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think the foundation does need to be laid. When I talk about growing up spiritually, the place where spiritual maturity begins, the place where it starts, is entering into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's kind of the entry point that I'm really starting with when I talk about this today. It's coming to the point in our lives and recognizing that we have sin, that we have disobedience to God, and that because of that, we need forgiveness of the sins, we need a Savior. And it's reaching that point that we acknowledge that as Jesus Christ to come into our life, be the forgiver of our sins, the Lord of our life, and we enter into a relationship with loving God. And so that's the underlying foundation that everything else is built on, that is happening. And from there, what's it mean, what's it look like to grow up spiritually? Because that just leads to the question, if you're here today and you're a Christ follower, are you growing spiritually? Are you growing up spiritually, or are you stuck? Because the Bible tells us that we should grow up spiritually. And so often when it comes to our physical, when it comes to our emotional maturity, we don't settle. We don't stay put in those areas of our life. We keep progressing. We keep maturing. That's why we laugh at the old pictures, right? Because that's not who we were. We're different now. We've grown. We've matured. But when it comes to our spiritual growth, why? Why is it at times that we can settle and just become complacent when it comes to growing up spiritually? Because the truth is, when it comes to our spiritual growth, we shouldn't stay in the same place. We shouldn't stay stuck. We shouldn't stay complacent. In fact, I would argue there's actually a biblical mandate that we need to be growing spiritually. If you're a Christ follower, we need to grow up spiritually. In fact, check out this first verse here on your outline. It's Colossians 1:28. You're looking on your outline or up on the screens. It says, Him, and Him here is Jesus. It says, Jesus we proclaim, and proclaim, I don't use that word a lot, but it's just like Jesus we make known. It's kind of what they're saying. Jesus we make known, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone, and what's it say? Mature. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. And so guys, we have this biblical mandate to grow up spiritually, but at the same time, the next big question is, what's that mean? I mean, what's it mean to grow up spiritually? Because again, when it comes to physical maturity, we've seen the changes. We see people grow taller. We see the zits. We smell the smells. But really, what's it mean to grow up spiritually? And the reality is just like that person that came to your mind when I asked the question at the very beginning, that gets stuck. They're stuck in the world of mullets and Bon Jovi t-shirts and stuff. We can all get stuck spiritually as well. We can get stuck not growing. We can get stuck not maturing, still telling the same old football story of our spiritual lives. You know, that time that I served in church, or that 18 years ago when I shared my faith with someone, or that time when I was really reading my Bible. We can kind of live in the Friday night lights of our spiritual lives. You know, and that just leads to the question of why. Why don't we grow spiritually? Why do we get stuck? Why do those things happen? And to me, one of the reasons that we can get stuck, in fact, to me, one of the primary reasons that we can stuck is because so often our focus when it comes to spiritual growth, when it goes to growing up spiritually, our focus can just be in the wrong place. I'm going to break that down here in just a minute, but just really ponder that question for a minute. What is spiritual growth? What's it look like? What's the goal? What are we aiming? What are we shooting for? Because to me, anytime you want to know how to get somewhere, you got to know where you want to go. I mean, I'm a huge goal setter. I love to set goals. And the thing is, if we don't set a goal, we don't know what steps we need to take to achieve that goal. So if we don't know what we're shooting for when it comes to spiritual growth, how are we going to know what we need to do to grow up spiritually? And so if I ask you that question, when it comes to spiritual growth, what's the target? What's the focus? What's the goal of spiritual growth? What would you say the goal of spiritual growth is? You know, as I say that, a lot of things can come to your mind, and a lot of maybe very, very right answers. A lot of people may go, you know, hey, you know, spiritually, a sign of being spiritually mature is, you know, we read our Bibles, and we pray, and we go to church, and we connect with other people. Maybe we go to a small group, and man, we get really mature, we'll serve, and we'll do things like that. And the thing is, I believe we should do all those activities. Those are things that I would call spiritual disciplines. At least some of them are spiritual disciplines that I really do believe that we should do. But at the same time, if that's what our view is of what spiritual maturity is that the end game? Praying, reading the Bible, going to church, getting in a group. Sir, is that the end game? Is that really the true mark of growing up spiritually? I mean, should these things, should reading the Bible, praying, going to church, serving, should these things be our only focus? Now, I'm getting ready to walk a line here, so don't bail on me here, and don't think I'm like blasphemy here. Stick with me, because what if? What if these things, what if these disciplines that we're talking about, what if reading the Bible, praying, going to church, serving, what if these things that I would tell every single person to do, things that I think every single person who's a Christ follower should do, these are good things. But what if these things alone, what if these things alone are not the goal, not the end game when it comes to our spiritual maturity? What if there should be a different focus? What if there should be a different goal, a different target that we should be aiming at? Because the fact of the matter is that if these activities, these disciplines, if they become our goal, if they become the goal of our spiritual maturities, at times, believe it or not, these things can actually cause us to become stuck. What? Huh? The reason they can cause us to become stuck is because we're focused on the wrong thing. And we could actually be headed down a dangerous and slippery slope because sometimes we equate spiritual maturity with what we do and what we know. You agree with that? Sometimes we equate spiritual maturity with what we do and what we know, with activity and with knowledge. But the truth is, activity alone and knowledge alone is not the key to growing up spiritually. In fact, check this out, 1 Corinthians 8. It says, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. What's that mean? What this means is knowledge alone can puff us up. It can lead to pride. And the truth is, pride can lead us to getting stuck. Our pride can lead us to actually stagnating our spiritual growth. Why? Because the focus becomes all about us. The focus becomes all about me. In fact, just having knowledge and facts cannot be fully equated with spiritual maturity. It just can't be. See, it's only when that knowledge does something. It's only when that knowledge does something in our lives that our knowledge relates to spiritual growth. So, if the target for spiritual maturity is not all these activities, if the target of our spiritual maturity is not just all these things we do or all this knowledge, all these things that we've mentioned, if the target for spiritual maturity is not knowledge, what's the target? Well, to answer that question, let's look at this next verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is coming on the heels of the author talking about some things regarding food and drink. So it's going to address that, but that's not the main point of this verse. Let's read the verse and I'll explain that a little bit more. It says, so whether you eat or drink, and again, hold that, I'll talk about that. Whether you eat or drink, and here comes the key part, you may want to underline this, or whatever you do, underline that, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now stay with me a second, because I want to make sure you get this. The point of the verse is not to say we need to eat and drink to the glory of God. That's not the point. The point that he's really getting at here when he writes this is the point is that whatever we do, even if it's as ordinary, even if it's as ordinary as eating or drinking, whatever we do, it should be done for the glory of God. And so that leads us to an answer. What should be our target? What should be our goal in growing spiritually, maturing spiritually? Our goal in whatever we should do, you can fill in the blank there, our goal should be this: to know and glorify God. That's the goal. To know and to glorify God. So when it comes to spiritual maturity, our goal in everything we do, our goal in reading the Bible, our goal in praying, our goal in serving, our goal in going to church, our goal in everything, and everything in between, the goal should be to know and glorify God. At this point, I can just pray and go home, right? I mean, we got it now. That's the goal. But here's the kicker with that. Paul, think about this. What's that mean? I mean, anybody else thinking that? I just sit there and go, okay, that's the goal, to know and glorify God. What's that even mean? I mean, I don't know about you, but the word glorify doesn't make my everyday vocabulary. That's not a word that I use a whole lot. So what's it mean? What's it actually mean to glorify God? Because the truth is, that's kind of an abstract statement, isn't it? I mean, there's not a lot of concrete to that. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, here's a textbook definition of glorify. The textbook definition of glorify is to magnify, to elevate, to draw attention to God. I mean, I've heard people describe it this way, as, man, we need to make God famous, as if I can make God famous, and that's what we need to do. Or to make God, you know, look good, as if I can make God look good. But that's kind of the idea. But even these concepts are still a little abstract, aren't they? But if the goal of spiritual maturity is to know and glorify God, what does it mean to glorify Him? How can we actually glorify God? Now, I'm going to get to some really, really practical things here, some practical application here in just a second. But in order to get to the how, in order to really get to the how to glorify God, we first have to understand that the Bible says this about God. The Bible says God is already glory. The Bible says God is already glory. Now, this gets a little heady. This gets kind of one of those, I don't know if you think about some things in Scripture. This is one of those things that makes my head hurt because it feels like it goes in a circle. But think about this with me for a second. The Bible tells us that God is already glory. The glory of God is the embodiment of all of God's attributes. The Old Testament says He's the King of glory. The New Testament calls Him the God of glory. So think about this for just a second. If God is already glory, how do we glorify what is already glory? You see how that makes your head hurt? How do we do that? How do we give glory to God when God already has all the glory? And the answer to that is that we don't give God glory in the same way we understand the word give. It's not like I'm going up to you and say, hey, I want to give you a porcupine. Here's a porcupine for you to enjoy. It's not like that. Okay, it's a little different than that. We don't give God glory because He already has it. Glory is God's nature. Glory is God's essence. Glory is the sum of all of God. That's what glory is. So you don't glorify what is already glory. Just like you don't make water wet, it's already wet. You don't make a rock hard, it's already hard. You don't make a pastor long-winded, we're just already long-winded. It's the same way when it comes to glory with God. So here's the key. Here's some more fill in the blank, because we love fill in the blank. When it comes to knowing and glorifying God, which that really should be our target in everything we do, here's how we can glorify God. Here's what you and I can do. The first bullet point is to recognize God's glory. Write that in. Recognize God's glory. And then the second bullet point is promote God's glory. I know I said that fast, so I'll say it slower. Recognize God's glory and promote God's glory. See, in order to grow up spiritually, in order to get rid of the spiritual mullet and the spiritual hammer pants that some of us are wearing, that should be our focus. That should be our goal. To recognize and promote God's glory. You see, the thing is, when that becomes our focus, when that becomes our goal, that's what facilitates spiritual growth. When we recognize His glory and promote His glory, and actually a great word that's used in 1 Chronicles, check this out, 1 Chronicles 16, is this word declare. Circle this word. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. See, it's not about adding glory to God. He's already got it. It's about making God's glory known. It's about opening the windows so other people, so we can see and other people can see God's glory. So just real quickly, let's apply this to those standard disciplines that we just talked about. This, like, a lot of people think of, that they think of when they think of spiritual maturity. And think how this could change your focus here just a little bit. When you think about the standard spiritual discipline of reading the Bible. If our focus is to know God and to glorify Him, what we should be doing is read the Bible to recognize God's glory in the Bible and then seek to apply it to our lives so we can promote God's glory in this world. See how that changes the focus? I mean, when we come to church, we should come to church to learn more about God, to recognize the glory of God, apply it to our lives, and promote God's glory. When we serve in the church, we should serve out of gratitude to God and to recognize God's glory, and then to connect the dots in our mind about how our service is serving to promote God's glory in this world, opening the door for other people to see the glory of God. As we know and as we glorify God, we will begin to grow spiritually. I didn't give you a blank for this, but you may want to write this down. The master key. The master key to the process of spiritual growth is understanding what it means to glorify God. That's pretty deep. The master key to the process of spiritual growth is understanding what it means to glorify God. And so what I want to do with the rest of the time we have together today is I want to take this answer, that the true key to spiritual maturity, the goal of spiritual maturity, the target of spiritual maturity is to know and glorify God. And I want to make it practical. I want to talk about this recognizing God's glory and promoting God's glory. I want to talk about it in such a way that when we leave here today and when we wake up on Monday morning, it's not something that's forgotten. When we wake up on Monday morning, we're back to the real world. We have something tangible. We have something meaty that we can do something with. Why? So that we can know and glorify God and we can grow up spiritually. And I saw this illustration. This is not my original thought. I can't take credit for this, but I thought this was so awesome, so phenomenal, such a great way to remember how to do something with this when Monday morning rolls around. So there on your outline, if you haven't already, I want you to flip the outline over to the back. And you'll notice the back's blank. Oh, the back's blank. But here's what I want you to do. If every one of you, if you do this for me, just appease. Evandae, I need you to do this too. Everybody raise up their left hand. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to raise your left hand. Now I want you to put it down on that paper. And we're going to go old school. We're going kindergarten old school. All right, and I want you to trace your hand, okay? Remember this? You made turkeys like this, okay? I want you to trace your hand on that paper. I know some of you guys got gigantor hands. Just bear with me. You're going to try to maybe grab your neighbor's hand and put it on your paper and then trace it. But trace out your hand. And what's really important here, just do the best you can to squeeze it in there. I know it's a little tight. I could barely get my hand on it. But the important part here is the fingers. Because every finger has a point. And we're going to remember this by remembering this hand, our left hand, okay? And as you're doing that, I'm just curious here. I actually did some research on this. This is actually has some significance to it. Anybody here, like, when they trace their hand, put it palm up versus palm down? Because that has some significance to it. You know what that means scientifically? It means you're really weird because everybody else does it this way, okay? So I'm kidding. I don't know what that means. So, but everybody got traced? We good to go? It should look a little something like this. You can throw this up on the screen here. Here's what it should look a little bit like on your page. So here we go. Here's how we're going to remember this, how we can know and glorify God, how we can recognize and promote God's glory. Here's what we need to go. The first thing I want you to write in here on your thumb, on the thumb of what you just drew on your page, I want you to write in, be content. Be content. Okay, write that down and then look back up here. How's that going to work for us? How are we going to remember that? What's the universal sign of we're content? Hey, right? You remember Fonzie? That? We can all remember that. Right? This is it. This is it. Everything's good. You know, and this is the big game, the Super Bowl this weekend. You know, somebody takes a vicious hit and they get carted off the field, but they're really okay. And the crowd's looking at them. What do they do? They let them know they're okay? Thumbs up, right? So how are we going to remember this? What's this mean? Be content. Be content. Now, let me explain that. How in the world does that glorify God? Because when we're content, we're displaying and promoting God's glory. How? Contentment. Being content. Contentment recognizes God's sovereignty. And sovereignty is just a really big fancy word for recognizing the truth that God is all-knowing. That God is all good. He's all powerful. He's all everything. It's the everythingness of God. And us being content recognizes God's everythingness. It recognizes his sovereignty. Guys, see, when we're content in life, we're acknowledging God's trustworthy. We're content, we're acknowledging that God's good, that he's in control. And when I do this, we're reflecting God's glory. So being content is key to reflecting God's glory. But the flip side, that's true as well. When we're discontent, what that's showing is that we're questioning God's wisdom, we're questioning God's plan, we're questioning God's glory. I gotta be honest with you, when I'm thinking about my Monday morning, what I'm gonna do with this is the one area I really need to work on in my life. I don't know about you. Because the reality is, human beings have a tendency to be wired toward discontent. You agree with that? I mean, a lot of us have a tendency to be wired toward discontent. So unless we pray for contentment, unless we learn to be content, it's very, very easy. It's so easy to be discontent. I mean, some of us walked into church discontented today, didn't we? I mean, some of you walked in and saw Pastor Paul wasn't preaching, and you got discontent. I can't blame you. I mean, I don't like to hear myself talk. I don't know how you guys do it. But some of you looked at the back of the outline and go, what in the world? I mean, no paint, no blanks, no fill in the blanks. What in the world? It's so easy to become discontent. I mean, look at the world around us. We got this really goofy presidential election going on. You guys agree with that? I mean, it's nuts. I mean, it's easy to become discontent with that. The economy, the environment. I mean, I look in the mirror with my receding hairline and my expanding waist, and it's easy to whine about it. It's so easy to be discontent. So the key in here, and what you may need to write on your paper here, that's why we have to learn. We have to learn to be content. We've got to learn it. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 wrote something about this. And this is what's called a prison epistle or a prison letter. And the reason it's called the prison epistle, the prison letter, is because he was in prison when he wrote the letter. So it's like, it's Bible stuff. It makes sense, though. And the reality is, the reason I point that out is we have to recognize this guy wasn't staying at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel when he wrote this. He wasn't even staying at a Holiday Inn Express. Okay, the guy was in prison. But look what he wrote up here on the screen. Check this out. He said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have, and what's it say? For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have, what's it say? Learn, good job. Learn the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here's what he's learned, okay? This is key. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So to glorify God, we need to learn to be content. Now, what a lot of people do and what people have done over the years is they can take the last part of this verse and then they take it out of context. Christian bookstores have made a fortune misquoting this verse on this plaque. They put, I can do all things, but it's taken out of context. We miss the context. The context is saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why? Because I've learned to be content. I've learned that God's in control. I've learned that God is sovereign. He's in control. So to recognize and to promote God's glory, we need to, thumbs up, we need to, say it with me, be content. That's the first one, but let's move on to the next finger. Let's go to the pointer finger, your index finger, your scratching finger, whatever you want to call this one. That finger on this finger, right? Praise him. Praise him. Now, how are we going to remember that? We got the universal sign, everything's good. Hey, it's all good, right? With praise him, it really should be pretty easy. If you're from a church environment, you know, when we do the music, we do the song, you'll see some people clapping, you see some people raise hands, you see some people pointing up, what we're praising him. Or this weekend, when the Broncos win the Super Bowl, and Peyton Manning throws that winning touchdown, and everybody goes, and they're going like this, they're praising him, okay? So we're praising him. That's what that stands for. Look at this verse. This next verse, 1 Corinthians, look at this again. It says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In other words, in everything we do, give credit to God. Not as a show, not as a big production, not to do the football dance in the end zone, not that, but recognizing and promoting the glory of God. We give God the credit. We praise him. I mean, this is where we just need to get in the habit of saying, man, God is so good because of, you fill in the blank. God is so good because, fill in the blank. That's what praise is. Man, that's something good happens to us. Man, God is so good because fill in the blank. Give God the credit. You learn something new. You expand your horizon. Man, give God the credit. You hear this great story, a story like we just heard from Brian. I mean, how phenomenal is that? Man, give God the credit. That's what praise is. I'm going to give you a bonus verse here. Our pastor of Care and Recover, Gary, he came in my office and said, Todd, man, I found this verse. This is so awesome. And he was so dead on with this. Like, this just ties together the two pieces of praise and glory. Check this out up on the screen, Psalm 86:12. He says, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will praise you and I will glorify your name forever. So we need to learn. We learn to be thumbs up content. And because of that contentment, we learn to praise him, to give God the credit. Because when we give God the credit, we glorify, we recognize, and we promote God's glory. And our focus, our goal is on what? God's glory. That's what we're doing so far. Now let's go to the next finger. And I'm going to assume you know where this one is because I'm not going to show it to you. In this world of Facebook, wouldn't that be something else? Pastor gives sign of discontent to the church. Wouldn't that be something else? All right, you guys know where your middle finger is. We'll be all right with that one, okay? So on the middle finger, I want you to write this. I want you to write, confess sins. Confess sins. Now, do I need to tell you why you need to remember that? If you've ever given the sign of discontentment to someone, you probably need to stop right now and confess that sin, okay? That's how you can remember this one, all right? You need to confess sins. But here's the question in guard to get this one. In relationship to spiritual growth, to achieving the goal of knowing and glorifying God, how does confessing sin glorify God? Here's the answer. See, when we confess our sin, it accesses God's grace, and it ushers in his forgiveness. Okay, let me say that again. When we confess our sin, it accesses God's grace, and it ushers in his forgiveness. If we want to be a growing follower of Christ, we've got to confess our sin. Check this out. 1 John 1:9, we'll throw it up on the screen. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, the reason this is so important is because if we don't confess our sin, it basically means we aren't taking responsibility for our sin. If we don't confess our sin, it basically means we're being disobedient. We're not owning our disobedience to God. And it's so common. It's so common for me. I think it's so common for all of us to not want to take responsibility for our sin. But when we confess that sin, the confession of sins glorifies God because it acknowledges that God is perfect and that God is holy and that he is righteous. And to connect with him in the way God wants to connect with us, we've got to turn from our sin. It's what's called repentance. We've got to turn from our sin, from our disobedience to God. That's why it glorifies God. So let's see how you're doing here. We need to, what's this one? Be content. We need to. All right, let's move on to the next finger. On your fourth finger, the fourth finger is traditionally known as what? It's traditionally known as the ring finger. We all know that one, right? So here on this, I want you to write this. Here's the key to this one. Make him known. Make him known. See, my ring finger, if you're married and you're wearing your wedding ring, this wedding ring doesn't make me married, does it? What's it do? It makes it known that I'm married. All right, it makes it known that I'm married to my wife, Becky. That's what this ring does. So on this ring finger, a way we can remember this, the way to glorify God is to make him known. We're to make him known. That glorifies God. You know, the truth is, Pastor Paul talked about this, I thought, a lot last week when he was talking about having maximum impact. Again, great message. You need to go back and listen to it if you weren't here. It was a phenomenal message to listen to. And he did. He gave us this equation saying to have maximum impact this life, we really need to impact this world for Jesus. We need to let Jesus work through us to share our faith. And he had this equation of HP, which is high potency, plus CP, which is close proximity, plus CC, which is clear communication. That equals maximum impact. It's making him known. And one of the ways we recognize and promote the glory of God is by making him known. And when we do that, we bring him glory. We're promoting that. We point people to Jesus. A lot of times it's called, we point them towards the good news. You ever heard that? That's kind of a churchy term. The good news of Jesus. The reason it's good news is because our sins can be forgiven. We can enter into a relationship with God, and we can spend forever and ever and ever with a God that loves us. That's why it's such good news. Pretty good news, huh? Check this out. Acts 14:15, it kind of builds upon that. This is where we're bringing you good news. Telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. We need to make him known. And to grow up spiritually, we need to glorify God. To glorify God, we need to learn to be content, to praise him, to give the credit to God, to confess our sins, and we need to make him known to the world around us. To share this good news. And when we do that, our spiritual growth can take off. But then last but not least, we got one more little finger that we can't forget about him. Let's go to the pinky. And a key to recognizing and promoting the glory of God in the pinky finger, I want you to write this. I want you to write, bear fruit. Bear fruit. And when I say that, I don't mean like I'm a bear. Not like that type of bear. But to produce fruit is really what I'm talking about. Bear fruit. Now, I kind of had something cute to really help you remember every other one. You know, the thumb, be content. This one, praise him. This one, confess your sin. This one, make him known. On this one, I got nothing. Okay, so you just got to remember this one. All right, so just remember this one, bear fruit. Now, the truth is, knowing and glorifying God does involve actions. All five of the things that we're talking about here, all five of these things that we're talking about when we're filling these fingers involve actions. All the things we do are put into play, but bearing fruit kind of embodies all of these things that we've been talking about. Now, it may not be, but I kind of think of it as bearing fruit's kind of one of those churchy terms. I don't know, do you guys say that outside of church? Maybe you do. It's kind of one of those churchy terms. So if you don't know what I mean, let me explain. According to the Bible, fruit are things that flow out of our lives as a result of spiritual growth. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the fruit that comes out of us. It's things like peace, patience, love, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. It's those types of things. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's kind of get the idea that what we're doing is born out of our recognizing and promoting God's glory. When we do that, we're bearing good fruit. Check this out, John 15, 8. It says, this is to my Father's glory. What's to my Father's glory? That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Fruit, very simply, is just another way of saying that our actions, by our actions we can glorify and promote God. When we live out what we're talking about, not just the answers to it, but the actions to it, not just the knowledge, but it's creating change in our lives. When we do that, we bear fruit. Look at this next verse, Matthew 5:16. We looked at this a little bit last week, but these are the words of Jesus. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Another way he could say that is that they may see the fruit in your lives and praise your Father in heaven. See, when you and I produce fruit, it opens up a window so that other people can see the glory of God, to recognize and promote the glory of God, which is knowing and glorifying God. So, guys, the master key. The master key to spiritual growth is to focus on the target. To focus on the target of knowing and glorifying God. And the way we can know and glorify God is by recognizing and promoting God's glory in our lives. And we do that. We can be content, praise Him, confess our sins, make Him known, and bear fruit. Practical ways that on Monday morning we can walk out, and remember, we've all got our left hand on there, we can look at that and say, you know what, here's practical ways we can glorify God. And all those other disciplines that I've mentioned that are involved, reading the Bible, praying, attending church, serving, those things are great, but the key to truly going spiritually is that in the midst of all these disciplines, in the midst of all that we're focused on the target, on the goal of knowing and glorifying God. You know, one thing I haven't talked about yet, and I won't spend a ton of time on this, but this is so, so incredibly important. We've got to remember that the true power behind growing up spiritually is God's Holy Spirit. That's the true power. See, the Holy Spirit energizes our growth. He gives us life, and life is growth. And as the Holy Spirit infuses our lives with this power, He causes us to grow into the image of Christ. But there's one condition in all of this. We must focus on knowing and glorifying God. And as we focus on God's glory, the Holy Spirit energizes the process of spiritual growth. And so today, as I wrap this up, let me ask you, when it comes to your spiritual growth, have you graduated the 13th grade? Are you living a life where you're growing up spiritually, or are you stuck? I mean, spiritually, are you still sporting the mullet and the hammer pants? I mean, stuck in the past, are you growing up spiritually? I mean, what's been your focus when it comes to spiritual growth? I mean, maybe your focus, in all honesty, has been good, but maybe it's not great. Maybe your focus has been on all the disciplines, the good disciplines, the reading and the prayer and the attending and the serving. And maybe you're wondering, why do I feel stuck? I'm doing all these things. Why do I still feel stuck? Could it be that you feel stuck, that in the midst of doing all those good things, you've missed the target? The goal's been wrong. And you just need to shift your focus to the true goal, which is knowing and glorifying your God. So this week, what do you need to say yes to God in? Maybe you're in the same boat I am, and when you wake up on Monday morning, you need to look at your thumb and say, man, I need to work on being content. Where in your life are you not content? Where in your life are you not fully trusting God and his sovereignty, his all-everythingness, and you say, I need to be content. Maybe this week you need to work on praising him. And when you think about that, say, maybe you need the goal of every single day, I want to find one thing that I am verbally going to praise God for. I mean, today, have you praised God for anything? Maybe today's the day you need to start that, praising him. Maybe for you it's confessing sin. Because the truth is, sin can block us from having the relationship. We don't lose the relationship, but keep us experiencing God in the way that God wants to experience and do life with us. Is there something you know in your life you need to confess to sin? You confess to God, to repent, to turn from it, so that you can experience the glory of God and recognize and promote God's glory. We need to work on making him known. To your family, to your friends, to your neighbors. I mean, think about this. Think about this for a second. This can be a little bit, it's going to be a challenging question, but think about this. If you didn't come to church, would anyone even know you're a Christ follower? Ouch. What do you need to do to make him known in your life? And maybe it's about putting these things into action to recognize and promote the glory of God by bearing fruit in our lives as the Holy Spirit works on us. But guys, what is it this week? Do you think about recognizing, promoting the glory of God that you need to do to say yes to God and to grow up spiritually? Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your love. I thank you, honestly, for your mandate that we are to grow, that you don't want us stuck as infants, stuck as babies in our spiritual growth, stuck in the past of things that we've done. But God, you want us to grow and develop and to be presented mature in you. And God, for some here today, what that means is going back to what I said was the underlying foundation of everything, is that there's a God that loves us. They need to recognize there's a God that loves us. They need to recognize the sin, the disobedience that every single one of us has. And recognize how that sin hurts and separates them from you. And they need to reach the place of recognizing they need forgiveness of that sin. That void, that emptiness that they've been feeling is a need for a relationship with you. It's at this moment that they say, God, forgive me my sins. I want Jesus in my life. I want him to lead my life. I want to rest in his sovereignty, his all-everythingness, and so that he can lead me in this life. And God, I want to begin this journey of growing up spiritually. And that's what they need to do today, right now. But God, for some of us, we've been Christ followers. We've been in a relationship with you, but the truth is we've been stuck. And God, maybe it's the time we need to look and say, has our focus been wrong? In the midst of doing good things, we've missed the most important thing, which is knowing and glorifying you. And what we need to start doing today shifting our focus, being content, praising you, confessing our sins, making you known to the world around us, and bearing the fruit, the actions, God, that you need us to have. And that's what we need to do to get unstuck and to grow up spiritually. God, in the midst of that, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, that we don't do this alone. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that truly does this when we shift our focus, and our focus becomes knowing and glorifying you. Lord God, I thank you. I praise you. I praise things in the name of Jesus.